God is concerned about America's apathy. He's concerned about the church's apathy, and he's concerned about the nation's apathy. You all remember the story about the 10 virgins and how that they fell asleep. And for 5, it was very dangerous. So it is for America, and it is for the American church. We must awaken. There are so many in the church that feel like they're awake, but they live for material comforts. They spend their money on all kinds of things that cannot profit. They put before their eyes things that contaminate and corrupt their soul. I had a vision, and it's been within the last 2 days. The Lord's just now quickening it back to me. There were 2 ladies who really loved the Lord. One was living in a very modest home. She could afford to live much higher than she lived, but she chose to live in a very modest home. And she spent much of her time, day and night, worshiping the Lord, crying out to Him, yearning for Him, serving Him. The other lady, in the vision, she lived upstairs. But in actuality, she lived in another home, another complex, another class of living in comforts and materialism. She too loved the Lord, and she loved the Lord very much. She gave the Lord out of her income, very much. She served Him when she could. But she surrounded herself with material comforts that she didn't need. And they constantly pulled on her heart. I saw the woman in the lower home become more and more wealthy in her soul, until she became like light. The woman upstairs, or in the higher class living, became more and more decrepit, until much of the light that she had was lost. She chose the world and the comforts of the world more than the presence of God. Now, this other woman was much despised by this lady upstairs because of the way she lived. But as years went by and she saw the light and the glory of the Lord shining from the woman downstairs, and she saw her own decrepit frame in the mirror, she understood. What did Jesus say? He said we had to forsake what? All. We must forsake all. And that's what the American church is afraid to do. she has become, I saw a vision of her. She was dressed in a wedding gown. She was at one time extremely lovely. Because, you know, one of the reasons why when you see heavenly visitors, whether it's angels or whether it's saints or whether it's the Lord, when you see people who are living in the glory and they look so exquisitely beautiful, it's because of the inner purity. Purity has an unbelievable beauty, inexplicable beauty that cannot be explained by human words. The more pure, the more beautiful. One time, an angel came to get me and take me away on a ride. And all the time we're traveling through the air, he's going from one degree of glory to another, and then back, and then up, and then back, and up. When he was in the lower level, he looked like a human being from anywhere in the earth. And he wasn't particularly handsome. He wasn't particularly good looking. He was just, he was just an average man. And we're flying through the air. But every few minutes, he would turn to his glorious state. And he was breathtaking. I was in his arms. He was carrying me like this, you know, like Superman used to carry Lois Lane. And I'm looking at this angel being transformed back and forth. And in his highest state, he was just so glorious. It's like your eyes can hardly bear it. The beauty. And it was his purity. It was his purity. So this bride had at one time been very beautiful through purity. But she had become so contaminated by the world. You know, watching worldly things, doing worldly things. Not things that, you know, that most Christians would shudder at, just what most Christians do. And I'm standing there and I'm looking at this beautiful bride gone bad. She had lost all of her beauty because she had lost all of her purity. An angel called for a eunuch, and the eunuch also was an angel. He came. And when the eunuch saw him, he gave him instruction to clean up the bride because the groom was coming. So he began to put oils upon her. He began to cleanse her beautiful gown. I mean, he worked diligently day and night on the bride. And her heart began to warm once again, like tinderwood lit by the fire. As he continued, I saw that her face was becoming very beautiful again. Her gown was white. Her countenance was alarmingly attractive. He stood back and he looked at her and he thought, how lovely she is for the groom. But there's something missing. What is missing? And then he remembered she did not have the veil, the bridal veil. So he scurried to get it, brought it back, and he noticed it too needed cleaning. So he put it on her head. He told her just a few minutes and everything would be well. And he began to clean the bridal veil. And I saw, how many of you can remember years ago when Princess Diane got married? Do you remember that lovely veil that she wore? It was long and lovely. Well, the bride had a veil longer and more lovely than that. He started cleaning up here, cleaning around the face area, and then down, slowly but surely, on the tail of the bridal veil, until it glowed like the glory of heaven. And when the bride turned around, I could not believe the beauty I was beholding. And that's where we're going. That's where we're going. The bride has been very busy. Busy, 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 busy. And how many times has she turned around after a day of busyness and thought, how did I not have time for the word and prayer? How did the day get away from me like that? Then day two, then day three, then day four, then day five, and finally and at last, it's just not as important anymore. People are concerned about the things to come. I want to look for a passage. Mark 4, verse 17. Let's look at 16 and 17. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves, so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. And the ones sown among the thorns are those who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. The Lord is here. He's looking into your hearts, and his heart is filled with compassion, because many fit the description in his word. Then the cares and the anxieties of the world and the distress. I'm shaking so bad I can hardly talk. And the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. You wonder why you're not growing. The word is going in. You still read the Bible. You still go to church. But you're not growing. You're not living in the call of the bride. You don't feel his presence drawing you. You're not waking up in the morning yearning for Christ. Trials still perplex you. You still run away from problems. You still react all the wrong ways. And you know it. you're not growing. But you don't know why. Let him burrow into your heart just now with his light. Don't let the world and distractions of the age steal you from Jesus. Don't let the bitterness, the unforgiveness, may I say this, even greed, covetousness, steal you from the arms of the one who comes for you. Set your heart on the things above. Christ is calling. Boy, he has been calling this whole service. There are some in this room, the devil wants you so bad because of what he sees God has in store for you. And you keep falling for the devil's whims. Jesus said, I'm calling. I'm calling. I'm calling. Let it go. Quit chasing after the things that can do you no good. Chase after Christ. Don't chase after notoriety. Don't chase to be seen. Don't chase to be known. Chase to be a knower of Christ. He's here. He's still here. If you want, come up and lay on the floor around his feet and give your life to Jesus tonight. There are some in this room that are called to the ministry and you're not doing ministry. And you're not going to know happiness until you come back to where you've been lost. You can go in the other room and lay on the floor if you want. Tell him how much you want him. Tell him you need him. You don't want to live the way you've lived in the past. Cleanse us, Lord. Let us be refined as gold is refined. Cleanse us. That we might be lovely in your sight. Take the pain away, Lord. The pain of lost relationship. And restore us to your presence. You desire truth in the inner being. Make me, therefore, to know wisdom in my innermost heart. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my guilt and iniquities. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Persevering, steadfast spirit within me, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. For you delight not in sacrifice, or else I would give it. You find no pleasure in burnt offering. My sacrifice, the sacrifice acceptable to you, God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, broken down with sorrow for sin, humbly and thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of righteousness and justice. With burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings and bullocks will be offered upon your altar. Cleanse me, O God. Let me rejoice in your presence once again. Let me know the sweet satisfying savor of being in your presence, delighting in your will. Let the pleasure of the Lord lay at my feet, and let me lay at yours. Show me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path, that I may show transgressors your way. I sought for wisdom and you gave it. Cleanse my wicked heart, Lord. Cleanse my failing spirit. And cause me to stand in your presence once again. How I have judged others when I myself needed your help. You are lovely, O Lord. Right now, right here, and right now, let us begin to pray for the church. Let us weep for her apathy. Let us weep for her hard-heartedness. For the church has lost her way. And she needs to be found. I want to encourage those of you who are in the back to pray. Pray for the church. How the church needs Jesus.